We're giving Pastor Louis a break. So I'm filling in today because we love his messages. They're so wonderful. They're applicable. They're impactful. So today I'm going to try to compete with that, okay? No, I can't. Does anybody remember how to do an attitude check? I say attitude check. And you say, praise the Lord. Ready? Attitude check.
Praise the Lord.
Attitude check.
Praise the Lord.
Attitude check.
Praise the Lord.
Wow, you guys are good. Wow, that is awesome. Well, we're going to look at Galatians 5:1. Right now, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Say that with me. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then. Stand firm, then. And do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So what is Paul saying to the Galatians? He's saying, you've received such a great gift of salvation, of freedom through Jesus. Why do you want to go back? It doesn't make any logical sense, does it? And you know, a lot of people quote this and they don't even know it's scriptures. Forgetting those things behind and going forward. Forgetting those things behind. So Paul is saying, forget those things. Forget all the bad stuff you did. Forget how you messed up this week. And move forward. Go forward. Forgive yourself quickly and go forward. So, you realize that next Sunday is Palm Sunday, right? So we celebrate. He's excited about that. Well, we celebrate Palm Sunday. And Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, as you remember. And kings came into a city on a donkey if he was coming in with peace. And you know who's the Prince of Peace?
Jesus. Yes.
You're good. The people shouted. They praised him. They threw their clothes down for him to walk on, and they praised him. And they were screaming an Old Testament declaration, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
But now, next Sunday, we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. What is that? Easter.
Yes.
So Judas had betrayed him. Peter cursed him and said he didn't know him. The disciples scattered, and then they took him before the Sanhedrin and the chief priests. Why? They were looking for false evidence to do what? They wanted to put him to death. But look at this. Jesus, you know, when somebody says something to you you don't like, be like Jesus. When you don't get what you want, be like Jesus. Because look at this. Jesus did not rebel. As they beat him, they ripped his back open with a cat of nine tails. They spit on him. They pulled his beard. They mocked him. And then they crucified him. One of the worst types of torture that could be had. He said not a word. He didn't rebel. He obeyed his father, even to death. Remember in Gethsemane? Jesus knew what he was going to face. He knew. Remember, he was God, but he was also in human flesh. And he said, Father, not my will, but yours be done.
Amen.
Are you ready to be like Jesus? So don't go back just because you messed up. Forgive yourself quickly and go on.
Amen.
Quit going into a pity party because you messed up. You know, I'm good at that. If I did something wrong, I beat myself up and I feel sorry for myself that I'm not as godly as I thought I was. But don't do it. Stop it.
Amen.
Don't go back. Okay. So if Jesus went through all that torture and crucifixion, obeying his father to the death, why? Why? Yes, he loved us, but He did it to save us from eternal death, to save us from, I'm just going to say it, hell.
Amen.
So that is God's love.
Amen.
I'm sorry. I love you, Chad, my son. But I don't think I would do what Jesus did. I don't think I would crawl upon that cross. But that's God's love. He wants us to be set free. With me, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Now remember, life on earth is just a vapor compared to eternity. So why would you want to go back? Paul keeps reminding the Galatians, I mean, you've got freedom. You have eternal life. Why do you want to go back? Doesn't even make any logical sense, okay? To me, it is such freedom to know that I know, that I know, that I know, and I receive, and I believe all that Jesus did for me. It's amazing when you really think about it. I don't want to waver. I don't want to doubt because I'm free. I am free eternally. Slide John 8:31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if, sometimes there's always an if in a promise. I don't know if you've noticed that. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Okay, Jesus is saying, you Jews have believed me. You've left the old covenant. You're coming into the new. You believe me. Now, hold to my teaching. Now, if you hold to my teaching, you'll become my disciple. Disciple just means learner. And if you become my disciple, then you will know the truth. And then if you know my truth, then you will be what?
Set free.
Set free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. You don't have to answer it out loud. Have you believed? Are you continuing in God's word? I heard a statistic just recently that 80% of Christians don't open the word of God during the week. Okay, am I really a disciple? Am I really a learner of Jesus? And by the way, what's truth? You know, if you're going to know the truth and be set free, what is it? Well, you know what? Today, there are some people maybe even sitting in this room. You've got all this information in your head, but you don't have that blessed assurance that you're saved, that you're born again, that you're going to heaven. Well, why don't we settle that today? Let's just settle it. You know, I mean, my other son, Daniel, when he was a little kid, about 10 years old, every time they had an altar call, he'd run up to the altar every Sunday. And finally, I said, honey, why do you keep going? You just got to do it one time. He said, Mom, I just want to make sure I'm saved. Well, there may be some people who are not sure. So I'm believing by the word of God presented today that you're going to make it settled. Now, we're going to look at Colossians chapter 2. And in it, Paul's writing to the churches in Colossae. These were a brand new churches. And they were set up and established so that they could tell the story of Jesus and about his saving power. But the problem was false teachings and had come into the church. And they were influencing them so that it was affecting their faith. They were probably wavering and trying to be strong in the Lord, but then they questioned things. So, and we all do that. So Paul reminds them of their spiritual condition before they were with Jesus. He reminds them that they were dead in their sins. Remember, we were all born in sin. We were all spiritually dead. So he reminds them that they were dead in their sins before they gave their life to Jesus. And he also reminds them that they have what the Jewish people did not have. They have the circumcision of the heart. They had given their heart to Jesus. In the old covenant, they had to, sorry guys, but they had to have a circumcision to prove that they were in covenant with God. But these were Gentiles who did that. They wanted Jesus, but they were getting influenced. And I'm not going to go into all the history of that, but the circumcision in the heart is the most important thing. The scripture in the Old Testament says that he's going to make your heart of stone into a heart of flesh. The circumcision of the heart is you fall in love with Jesus. You can fall in love with Jesus. Did you know that? Okay, let's look at Colossians 2:13. I would like you to read this with me. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made us alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses. How much did he forgive?
All.
Okay. How? Verse 14. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. I'm always the song, Lord, I'm amazed by you, how you love me. I'm amazed. I'm always amazed. You can read the scripture. See, I asked you, do you know what truth is? The Word of God is truth. The Word of God is Jesus. Amen. Every time you read a scripture, you're getting the truth.
Yes.
In John 1, it says that he is full of grace and truth.
Amen.
So, let's look at the next slide. And I do want y'all to read this with me. The debt we owe because of our sin. It's what?
Canceled.
What?
Canceled.
Annihilated. It's annihilated. If you look into the Greek, it's a very strong word. So let's go on. Nailed to the body of Jesus on the cross. Believe it. Receive it. No doubting. Don't go back. Paul is reminding the Galatians, look at all you got, all this freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Why do you want to go back to that old life? You have eternal life. You're free. You're free. You're free eternally. You're free. Let's look at Ephesians 2:4. More truth. By the way, if you're interested, I wrote a song out of this passage on my third CD, Divine Love. And when I read this scripture and the Holy Spirit just brought it alive to me, it just, I couldn't contain it. I was so emotional with his great love. You want to read it with me? Please do. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Genuine. When Jesus was resurrected, everybody, so were we. You see what the scripture is saying? That you are seated with Christ in heavenly places.
Now.
Now. Now. This is who you really are. This is your position It's not what you think you are, that you're no good, that you keep messing up, and everything I do is wrong. I'm bad. Nobody likes me. Why are they talking about me? What? I didn't hurt them. What? All these things that swirl around in our head, that's going back. You've got to believe your position in Christ. Believe it, receive it, and live it. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. You're not in freedom if you're living in that old mindset, if you're living in those old voices, the voices of your parents, the voices of a teacher who called you dumb, for the people, a sibling or a friend that said you were stupid or that you were ugly. That's living with a yoke of slavery. And Paul's reminding the Galatians, don't go back there. This is your position. What is your position? You are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms right now.
Amen.
Boy, I hope you get this, because it will change how you live. It will change how you think. One of my favorite subjects in college was humanities. They would build these churches to portray the glory of God. I loved it. Now, growing up, I attended the Eastern Orthodox Christian Church. And the church was heavenly. There were beautiful stained glass windows all around the church depicting the life of Christ. There was gold overlaid on the wood. And it was just beautiful. And I loved being in there. It was so beautiful. It did something to me. Then the one thing that none of us sisters will ever forget, over the altar area, there was a round window, and it was stained glass of a figure who's supposed to be God. And then when the sun shone, it would come through that glass and shine down on you. And we used to be scared, because it's the great eye in the sky, and we were scared, because if we messed up, we know he's going to get us. So, see, I didn't know about this freedom. I didn't know about being free in Jesus. Amen. I didn't know about salvation. In fact, in that church, we kept praying for people to get saved, even though they were dead. You know, it's true. But that's not going to do any good now. You know that. So anyway, Hebrews 10... Verse 14, more truth, for by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever. Now, this is talking about us. It's talking about you. By one, how much?
One.
Sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. That's about us. Do you know that we are holy right now? If you have given your life to God by believing on Jesus, you are holy. You are set apart from God. You know, it's only by the revelation of the Holy Spirit can you get this. So pray for that revelation. It will change your life. It will change your attitude. It will change your behavior. It will change your love for other people. It will change so many things. I pray you get that revelation. So it says that we're being made holy. We're being transformed daily into the image of Jesus. Did you know that? Did you mess up this week? It's okay. You're still holy. You're still in the position of set apart by God, for God. So let's look at James 1:25. More truth. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and does what? Not forgetting what they've heard, but doing what? Doing it. what's going to happen? They will be blessed in what they do. I don't know about you, this is one of my favorite passages, because we saw that we're in Philippians, forgetting those things behind, or was it Colossians? Forgetting those things behind, straining toward forward to the prize of the goal of Jesus Christ. But here it's saying, not forgetting what you've heard from God's word. Don't forget it. So how can you not forget it?
Being in the word by doing.
Being in the word and hiding it in your heart. Hiding it in your heart. You've got to hide it in your heart. Remember, you've had a circumcision of the heart. You belong to Jesus. And you wonder, why am I doing this today? Why am I bringing forth all these scriptures? Because we're in that Easter season. This is what it's all about. It's not bunny rabbits and Easter bonnets and Easter baskets and Easter eggs. It's about what Jesus has done for us.
Amen.
We are free eternally.
Amen.
You have a position seated with Christ in heavenly places. Now, know God's word then. That's what we're supposed to do. Know God's word, because why? The Bible is what? Yeah, read it. Our guidebook for living. And then what?
Do it.
Do it. And then what happens? You will be blessed. Okay, now we're going to Hebrews 9:25. Jesus did not enter heaven to offer himself again and again, like the high priest here on earth. Pastor Frank talked about this morning. Who enters the most holy place year after year, year after year, year after year, for thousands of years. With the blood of an animal, they had to find a perfect, spotless lamb to sacrifice for their sins and the sins of the nation every single year. And verse 26, if that had been necessary, Christ, listen to this, Christ would have had to die again and again and again and again ever since the world began. But now, once for all, how many times?
Once for all.
You guys are good. He has appeared at the end of the age to remove sin by his own death as a sacrifice. He is the perfect Lamb of God.
Amen.
Remember, he was in flesh. He was God, but he was in flesh.
Amen.
So read this part with me. Jesus dealt one time for all sin, for all times, for all eternity. Now, this is what you need to get into you. Let's read it one more time. Jesus dealt one time for all sin, for all times, for all eternity. Hallelujah! We should be shouting because we're free. We have eternal life. We're not going to go to hell. Where are you going, Chad? You going to hell? Where are you going? Come back. Don't do it. Don't go back. Don't. No, you've got freedom. Don't go back. He's going to kill me later. Okay. All right. Oh, my God. Oh, you know, when I was younger in the Lord, I felt so in love with Jesus. I wanted to be godly. I wanted to be like Jesus, and I wanted to obey him perfectly. I wanted to learn the word. But yet, see, I was a young Christian, and I messed up royally all the time. I said the wrong thing. I embarrassed myself by things I did, my behavior, and, you know, what could I do but beat myself up? I just beat myself up. You can't believe how I would beat up myself. You know, so it was like Jesus, his suffering, his death, his bleeding and torture on the cross, and resurrection. You know what it's saying? when I do that, when I beat myself up, when I don't forgive myself, do you know what it is? It's like saying, Jesus, what you did is not enough. Jesus, all you suffered is not enough. My sin is worse than your sin. My sin is worse than your sin. Do you know I hear Christians all the time competing whose sin is worse? Whose past is worse? But we are no longer sinners saved by grace. We are saints saved by grace. You are a saint. Just simply means you're set apart for God. All right, I've got to move along. Hebrews 10:9. Now this is Jesus talking to the Father. Look, I have come to do your will. Remember Gethsemane? Not my will, Father, but yours be done. He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second one in effect. The Old Testament covenant, the priests had to make sacrifice year after year. But in the new covenant, Jesus did it how many times? How many sacrifices? Once. Verse 10, for God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ. How often?
Once.
For how long?
Forever.
Once for all time. It is finished. It's finished. Also, do you know that your name is written in heaven?
Yes.
Your name is written in heaven?
Yes.
Isn't that awesome? Your name is written in heaven, Marie. How about that? This is awesome. If you want to read it, it's in Hebrews 12:22. Now, I want you to read this next slide with me. We were in an eternal prison, bound with chains. Now we are free from death, grave, and hell. And just one other thing to remind you of. You don't have to perform perfectly for God. Why? Because Jesus obeyed perfectly. We're going to mess up. You don't have to obey perfectly. Just forgive yourself and go on. Jesus obeyed perfectly. Ephesians 2:8. I want you to read this with me. This is a memory verse. Every Christian should memorize this scripture. Why? Number one, for you. And number two, what if you're with somebody who needs Jesus? This is the scripture to give to them. You ready to read it? For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Romans 10:9-10, read this with me. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess faith and are saved. Remember, we want to settle the question of whether you really belong to Jesus today. Let's settle it today. I'm going to close with this. My father, your grandpa, he had cancer. He spent 2 weeks in the hospice house in Charleston, West Virginia. When he was 14 years old, during an altar call in a Baptist church, he felt something happening to him. He was compelled to go forward to the altar call, and he gave his life to Jesus. Afterward, he said he walked around just floating. It's some kind of floaty feeling. Well, we know it was the Holy Spirit. But do you know no one explained to him what happened to him? And no one discipled him. And so for the rest of his life, He lived a carnal life. He was a star football player in high school. And he was offered scholarships to colleges, but then disaster happened. He was near death when his appendix burst. This handsome, strong, young man turned into a 90-pound weakling. He was devastated and was never the same. His dreams were finished. He became an alcoholic. So now we're back to the hospice house. He never acknowledged me as an ordained minister because I'm a woman. But when talking with him on the phone, he asked me if I would come baptize him. So I drove to Charleston. My sisters, nephews, nieces were there, and I prayed over him, and I had him answer some salvation questions. Then with my hand, I took some water from the crystal bowl from my mom's house, and I poured it over his head and said, "Benjamin Adam Tony, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And each time I poured water on his head, he began to cry in a loud, I mean a loud voice. My dad wasn't loud. But in a loud voice ringing through the room, "I'm free! I am free! I am free! I'm with Jesus! I'm free!" And we had this on video. He was 88 years old. Like the thief on the cross, it's never too late. Don't pass somebody by who may need Jesus. It's a matter of life and death.
Amen.
Galatians 5:1, our beginning scripture. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to do one more thing. For the altar call, I would like you to stand, please, if you can, if you're able, as Pastor Frank always says. And I would, if you want, you can take a hand. And remember, I talked about in the beginning, let's settle the question. Am I really a disciple? Am I really saved? Am I really born again? Well, we're going to settle that right now. And I want everybody in the room praying this prayer, repeating after me. You ready? Father God, thank you for your Son, Jesus.
Thank you
that he died in my place.
Thank you for nailing my
sins in his body on that tree. Thank you for Jesus taking my place. In hell. Thank you that you raised him from the dead.
Thank you that I now
am seated with Christ
in heavenly places.
Thank you that my name
is written in heaven
right now
in Jesus' wonderful name.
Thank you, Lord. Now, if you go home today, call somebody and tell them what you did. Because it's, remember the scripture we looked at in Romans 10, 9 and 10? If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord and God has raised him from the dead, you are saved. Very simple. It is finished. And the reason I did this message today is because we are in this Easter season. We should not forget what Jesus has done for us. Now, attitude check.
Praise the Lord.
Attitude check.
Praise the Lord.
Attitude check.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Go with God.
This is Pastor Louis. I hope you've enjoyed the message today, and I hope that it has encouraged you. If you need any further information about the message or our ministries, please contact us at the numbers on the screen. Our live worship is 10:30 each Sunday morning, and we can also be seen on YouTube and Facebook at thelivingcornerstone.org. Be blessed.